Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast, episode 134. I'm talking to Charmaine Narona, who is a journalist with the Associated Press and Huffington Post, Canada, and Toronto Star, performing. And she's right. She's an article for Chatelaine, which is a Canadian magazine, and about her own concussion and brain injury. So I want to talk about, I want to talk about that because it's just, it's fascinating when you actually, somebody can write, explains details well about what she went through and how it feels and everything. So I think it's important to talk to somebody like Charmaine. But first, I guess, just remind everybody that I have been merch for now. So my concussiontalk.com, go on merch page. You can go to Podchaser, my page on Podchaser, which means you'll have a merch page. And so I'm selling hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, notebooks, masks, stickers, a whole bunch of stuff. So please check it out. And before I start, I would like to just not really say remind everybody my sponsor, Head to Head. I remind everybody of my sponsor, Head Check Health. So Head Check Health bridges the gaps in concussion care to a simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada. Rely on Head Check Health to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headcheckhealth.com for more. And after that, so Charmaine, thank you for joining me. And I gave a brief, very perfunctory introduction to you, but just introduce yourself to everybody.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I have a bit of a hoarse voice today, so apologies for that. As you said, I'm a journalist. I am not with the AP anymore, but I was with the Associated Press for about 11 years. As a reporter covering Canadian news for an international audience, and then went on to be a reporter for HuffPost, and now I'm freelance. Sustained two concussions.
Because you wrote about your first one, and you said message you about your second one you sustained after the article was written, or I guess after it was written, or before published, where it was published, or after published, yes, but. So I would like to just go through the article. So how did you sustain your first concussion?
in a pretty unusual way, I would say. I had just attended a yoga class with someone, and after the class, she had wanted photos of herself in front of these butterfly wings outside of the studio, and she was trying to do it via headstand and needed help to lift her legs up to do the headstand. And so I was kind of leaning over her to help her lift her legs up, and her heel kicked me in the jaw and my head ricocheted back. But I had no idea that it was a concussion. Like I'd had sort of a dislocated jaw and my mouth was bleeding and swollen. And
you explain the article a bit about there's like a nerve or in your jaw. You meant that the hit that's easy to get knocked out when you hit the jaw, or that's just because your head spins and your brain knocks off. That's what they think, at least.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's essentially why it's like the boxer's right hook is a pretty deadly shot at reason, almost renders you instantaneously concussed because there's almost no way your brain can move at the same speed as your skull. So there's going to be friction and traction.
Right. No, and you explain well about like how you felt, like why you went to see a doctor. So, and but what you wrote, it sounds like you had an excellent doctor, really up on head and brain injury, and to say you're lucky, but it's a weird thing to say when someone's in brain injury. But I mean, because I've heard from so many people who are doctors don't know much, and it's just no fault of their own. It's just not something they're exposed to, really. So. You obviously got someone who was very...
No, so I didn't did, actually.
No?
No, that's... I kind of write about that in the article, is that I actually had a really difficult journey, actually with both TBIs, in terms of getting any type of medical care. Like, I... basically...
Your doctor seemed to understand, your doctor explained to you what happens and seemed to know what's going on. There, at least your physician. I don't know when you saw this one that you mentioned in the article, but just explain like when you realized I should probably see someone about this, because you weren't knocked out really immediately, right? So
no, in fact,
so,
you know,
when did you decide that I should go to the hospital or I should see a doctor?
I was basically the next day when I was struggling to sort of lift my body out of bed. Like I couldn't almost be vertical. I kept having to lie down. And initially I had just thought that was because of all the blood that was rushing to my face.
Yeah.
And I had actually called the woman.
You're very swollen? Sorry.
Yeah, I was super swollen. And I was bruised. So I had called the woman who had issued the kick, and she was the one that said, I think you might have a concussion. And I was kind of shocked because, you know, I had limited knowledge of concussions. I sort of thought they were relegated to pro athletes. And so, you know, I didn't take a blow to the head, and I didn't even really sort of hit my head that hard, but it was the force of my head ricocheting back was enough to create a concussed effect. And so it was then that I went to a walk-in clinic and sort of like got very limited advice of no screens, stay in a dark room for sort of a week, take a week off work. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of it. And then a week later.
When was that?
That was in 2017, July.
Because I know now they're saying that, you know, stay in that room because there's the, and you mentioned that the a physician, I'm not sure what stage the physician at, said, did she get, are you ready? You're getting conflicting advice about getting on walking, but not too much activity, and get some activity and not too much, and stay in that room, but don't always stay in that room. And like you're getting conflicting ideas of what to do. And so I know now it's like, staying in a dark room, but no activity is not considered a good move, because I know physical activity after concussion, getting out there at least, like, is...
Oh, yeah. No, it's... that's the thing, is, like, it's such evolving research that for so long, that was the protocol, was to sit in a dark room, and that's what I was told initially. And that sort of week that I was told to stay in that room essentially turned into months, which then turned into an entire year. And I didn't know at the time that that was actually doing a lot more harm to my brain than, you know, than I thought it was doing good. And a year after that concussion, I managed to get an amazing job as a senior editor at HuffPost. And it was the first time in my career that I'd ever struggled with a job. Yeah, and I realize now that's because sort of my brain had atrophied for a year of not rehabbing it and sitting in that dark room and kind of trying to protect it and shield it away from like sensory experiences, because I thought that it was, that's what you were supposed to do, because that's kind of all I was sort of told at the time.
What kind of symptoms would you, when you're, you say you're sitting in a dark room, or when you're trying to do work at the HuffPost or anywhere really, trying to do some sort of activity for your brain, what would you, what symptoms would you get?
I had really intense head pressure for a long time, for many months. I had pretty brutal nausea. I had noise and light sensitivity. I had brain fog, confusion, sort of like easily overwhelmed. Insomnia, and so I think like the combination of that, the whole gamut. So that sort of umbrella of symptoms makes it really difficult to look at a screen, to spend, you know, a concentrated amount of time trying to get a story done. And like your brain is kind of spinning all the time, it feels like. And
it feels like, I know because I didn't have a concussion, I had a more severe brain injury, but it feels like all my symptoms kind of came on right after I got up, woke up in my coma. So I kind of experienced them quickly, and I really wasn't, didn't even know what was going on anyway. But, and I, of course, I had it years after of just making normal. But so can you explain? So I'm not really sure what brain fog means to different people. So what, when you say you experienced some brain fog, I understand obviously head pressure and light sensitivity and noise sensitivity, but when you say brain fog, what would you do? Can you anyway describe it? Or
I spent the majority of my adult life as a journalist, and I kind of felt like I was fairly sharp and sort of could quickly process information and could quickly articulate ideas and questions. And then post TBI, you feel like you're constantly living in this world of like haze, where I didn't feel sharp anymore, and it felt like just your thinking was kind of weighed down. Like it would take a little longer to process information, and even if I did process information, it would often just dissipate really quickly. And there's a lack of sharpness that you feel to your thinking. I think for me, that's what brain fog felt like. It's sort of being under a haze of thinking, almost like you're kind of having to wade through, and I feel that way sort of even physically post this TBI, where, I was almost an athlete before, in the sense that I worked out a lot. I was a dancer, I did yoga. And now with this second TBI, my body also feels like it's in a fog, like it's just kind of stuck, like there's no flow anymore to everything.
So I want to ask you about your second TBI. Before I do that, just you wrote the article and you mentioned a lot of stuff about like Brain Injury Canada, and you've done a lot of other researchers, stats, and all the other symptoms and signs that concussion, brain injury, and concussion. But so, did you contact Brain Injury Canada first? Did they contact you, or did you write your article? Decide I'm gonna write the article first, or did you go through all this and then thought, I should all write? I know all this stuff now. Write down what I know. Or did you sit down and sit aside, I will write an article now, and I will contact Brain Injury Canada, and I will contact all these other groups?
For me, it was more just that it was such an eye-opening experience for me to go through this. And then, as many people who sustain significant concussions, you can feel like you're in this sort of bubble of isolation, because you have to isolate to a large degree. You can't handle stimulus, and you are overwhelmed by conversation even. And so I think I was just, it was, it opened up a world to me in a lot of ways. Like, I remember writing a feature on the Canadian healthcare system in comparison to the American healthcare system when I was at the AP, and sort of, you know, praising public healthcare, and then going through this experience and realizing how many holes are in our healthcare system, especially for TBI survivors. Like, it's actually mind-blowing to me that, you know, like, I think that there's so many people who fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do that because you're dealing with a compromised brain, and you're having to navigate this world of, like, neurologists still telling you that they don't know enough about the brain and sort of no guiding force. And, you know, you see your GP who, you know, my GP right now is lovely, but is apologetic that she just doesn't know enough about concussions. And so you're sort of like in this world of like a crazy navigation.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like there needs to be more awareness out there because, I mean, without that awareness, there's so many things that happen. Like, we don't get the same funding dollars that, say, cancer gets.
No.
So it feels like there's like sort of we're bereft of like research, like real progressive research here. You know, like, I'm considering going to a clinic in the States now because I feel like I've struggled so much trying to get like proper, like, TBI protocol and help, and like, we don't have an integrative system of healthcare here, and that to me is paramount for a TBI because, you know, it's your governing organ. Once that's injured, every part of you is injured, but yet we have sort of this like disparate system where you see someone for one thing and then someone else for someone else, and no one's really talking and no one's sort of looking at you holistically and being like, you know, yes, all your metabolic systems are altered, your CNS, your ANS, like, there's so many things that no one ever tells you that you have to, or that I had to like figure out, I had to research, I had to like learn about my brain and my body and all these systems that, you know, we're so lucky, you know, pre-brain injury in a way that you don't know everything that the brain does because it does it autonomically and, you know, and then all of a sudden your brain is injured and you struggle with so many little things that you're like, whoa, it's as brutal as it is. It's also like fascinating because it's this like window into just all the like millions of day-to-day things your brain does.
It's fascinating because, I mean, it's just knowing how important the brain is, like, basically human biology 101. And when it comes to, like, I don't know, I'm going to say medical, but like medical community, it's just taught these in sections, like you do osteo, you do neurology, you do geriatrics. It's all separate. It's all like an internal medicine. You do it all separately. Whereas and the brain is just, seems to be forgotten about, even though it's the most important organ, been called organ in the body. It's a brain organ. It's like just a command center, really. And I mean, it's just amazing that like there's not more awareness and there's not more just importance put on place on brain and prevent, not necessarily preventing head injuries, preventing the long term effects or even the acute effects of it. And so I think that's just something that, I mean, all you can really do is just try to raise awareness as you did just by writing an article, and I'm trying to do by, you know, podcast. And all we can do really.
And
I know about your, just reading the article, your first concussion, but your second one I am totally in the dark about. So what happened for number two?
So the first one was in 2017, and it took about 3 years for me to fully recover from it. And by 2020, I kind of felt like I was finally back to being healthy and happy. And, you know, I started January 2020 at an ashram in Northern California. And then I went to Portugal for work in February. I came back to essentially what was like the end of the world and the start of COVID. And I still felt like I was kind of thriving. Like I had a steady freelance contract with the Toronto Star. I was I was going for these long sort of nature walks. I was doing all the Zoom yoga and dance classes. And then my sister took me to Hamilton to go hiking on my birthday and visit the botanical gardens. And on the way home, got into a car accident. And actually, like, at the minute it happened, the first thought I had was like, I literally was like, please don't let this be another concussion. Like, and I kind of for like a week after kept trying to use like the power of positive thinking and, you know, sort of just saying like, it's not, I'm fine. It's not. And then, I mean, there was no
power of positive thing / denial.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I mean, there was no denying it. Like an anvil felt like it was crushing my head. Yeah. So, yeah, I knew then and there.
What did you learn from your first concussion, or did you learn from writing about your first concussion, because you've written there by this point? So what did you learn that, or did you write there by this point? Had you written the first article by this point?
Yeah, I had. Because I didn't. You know, I didn't think that I was going to have to go through that again, you know.
I would have mentioned that if you had gone through the second one. But so what did you learn from your first experience that had kind of helped you or just guided you?
I knew first, like the first thing that I wasn't going to do was sit in a dark room for any extended period of time. Like I did need to for almost the first week or the first couple of days, because I did have pretty brutal head pressure and migraines. Yeah. But I knew right away that I wanted to be proactive and sort of like start rehab and get the ball rolling and do an active rehab program to sort of get things started. And so that was kind of difficult because I had to go online, I had to use my phone, and I actually think that I may have worsened my condition to some degree by sort of using all my faculties almost immediately. So I ended up sort of struggling after the first week with like speech paralysis and walking and things that just kind of felt not okay. And so I went back, or I went to Sunnybrook to their TBI clinic or the ER, because I knew that they
had Sunnybrook is a hospital in Toronto for those who don't know, or even, yeah, just don't know. But so what kind of rehab did you go through? Did you do the second time?
Yeah, so that's like, it's still been in what feels like an confoundingly difficult journey, because I got, you know, I saw a neurologist at Sunnybrook. He basically said sort of like, don't focus on your symptoms and, you know, just try to live your life. And that was kind of it for the most part. And so I kind of felt lost, and I was like, okay, like I can't actually not focus on my symptoms or live my life, because my symptoms were so significant. So I kind of Googled again, concussion clinics, and I started seeing a woman who kind of did some sort of alternative therapies in some ways.
Okay.
But then I actually, about a month after my car accident, I went through another kind of crazy health condition called topical steroid withdrawal.
Okay. I can understand by what you're saying, by the name of the withdrawals, what it is, but it's just, you're obviously taking some cream to treat something like.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't know what was going on. Like I started getting all these like super bizarre symptoms. And so that kind of took me off a little bit in terms of like really going full force with my TBI rehab, because I kind of like, I had to go through a battery of tests and figure out what was going on with me with that other condition. And that one had taken almost 9 months to recover from. And so while recovering from that, I was trying to do my TBI stuff. And so my rehab really kind of feels like it started maybe almost a year later in full force. And in terms of rehab, I've tried a ton of different things. I've seen a physiotherapist. I'm currently still doing osteo and cranial. For a couple of months, I was seeing a neuro chiro that I had to sort of travel like quite far to, but it was one of the only people who I had found in Ontario that treated dysautonomia.
All right, yeah, she just did an article. Two episodes ago, so episode 132, the first video of this, not a season, seasons, but like, basically, I mean, talk stuff, but with Lauren Zayas and Janet Tucker, they did a whole hour-long thing about our session of podcast about dysautonomia, and they've written several articles, so I was just checking them out. So Lauren Zayas and Janet Tucker, they're both in the States, both DPDs, so Dr. Physical Therapy, and there's some great research, and they know a lot about dysautonomia. And they speak to it for like an hour.
Yeah, that's a huge, I feel like personally, a huge area of like TBI rehab and research that is missing, because now that I'm kind of learning more and more, I do feel like a lot of our issues are nervous system based and ANS based. And there doesn't seem to be, unless I'm just not aware of it, but like, fully targeted treatments to rehab your nervous system sort of out of fight or flight, that is more than just sort of meditation and the vagus nerve stimulation treatments. Like I do feel like that's a huge component that we're dealing with. But every time I talk to a provider here and I say dysautonomia, I always get like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Yeah. Like, and it's
look,
either
look it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that can feel like also the frustrating part about trying to get medical care here, where you're kind of like coming to them with like, oh, this is going on, or how about this? And they're sort of like, oh, we don't know about that. Or, you know, there isn't enough evidence to suggest these things.
Yeah, I find that that's a thing now, that like we know, just in brain injury, but also in society in general, we know enough to ask questions, to question things, but we don't know enough to answer them. Like we know enough to say, like your topical steroid withdrawal and your brain drains, you're thinking, okay, well, I had a brain drain that affects this. So it could be because of my concussion that I'm getting distraction for such and such. But you don't know enough to say that, oh no, this type of reaction is only for temple service withdrawal, or this type of reaction is only because of this. We can't find what the brain is so appropriate that you can't just impossible to do it. So
well, yeah, but and that's the other thing is like I did think that, and it's through this whole journey, it has been a lot of like me figuring these things out, and to me, it made sense. Like as soon as your brain is injured, your nervous system switches into fight or flight, and it just stays there because nothing is sort of telling it you're out of danger, because all of a sudden now you have all these misalignments and you have all these things that are keeping your brain thinking that it's in danger. So if that's going on, you're going to have cortisol, you know, kind of coursing through your body if you're in fight or flight. And because I hadn't actually been using any creams recently.
But
this kind of came out of nowhere. And I do believe that there is a connection here to sort of elevated stress levels and trauma to the body that kind of like fueled this whole other situation. Because as we all know, that people with TBI then can experience so many other like secondary illnesses. Like it kind of blew my mind to go from being a really kind of healthy, happy person with like almost no health issues, except for sort of, I did have eczema as a child.
Yeah, me too, so.
that was kind of it. And to go from that to sort of like, you know, having a car accident and the TBI, and then all of a sudden this like host of other things because of all these changes in your body, and because you do have adrenaline and cortisol coursing through your body for extended periods of time. And like, I think that is definitely why people do develop dysautonomia, because then all of a sudden, if your nervous system never really gets to access rest and digest, then it's your heart rate is going to be elevated and you're going to lose heart rate variability. And there's, you know, there's so many secondary things that happen. And
definitely. I mean, so this dysautonomia thing. So if anyone wants to know more about dysautonomia, seriously, look up Lauren Zeiss and Jenna Tucker, and whether it's this podcast or just the articles they've written, or go to, they're presenting at the American Congress for Rehabilitative Medicine in Chicago in November. So I know, I'm not sure, they're sure you got to pay a lot to get that. I'm not sure, but I don't know, but that's definitely, they do know a lot about it. So definitely look up them. And So what's next for Charmaine in terms of, let's say, in terms of your work, in terms of your freelancing now? So do you have anything in the pipe that's, or in the pipe, not that below, not, I know there's like journalistic terms in the pipe, but like, I mean, just in general, what's coming up for you?
I've kind of been focusing a little bit on travel writing. So I've been kind of getting back into that. I'm slowly kind of just getting back into things actually. You know, a lot of people have sort of suggested writing a book about TBI, but I'm kind of in a bit of a torn space because
it's a lot of work and energy.
It's a lot of work and energy, and because I've been recovering for what now feels like, you know, 2 years for this TBI, but then they were back to back, so almost 5 years altogether. And there's sort of a huge part of me that just kind of wants to leave this space and kind of get back to like life. But then I'm conflicted because I do feel like this space does need, you know, a lot more awareness and assistance. And I really feel for TBI survivors who do really struggle with recovery. And so I'm like torn between wanting to help in that regard, but also wanting to just like almost peace out and
live. You have to hear yourself too. So.
What's that?
Yeah, you have to take care of yourself too. So I mean, and sometimes it's good to, I know, like, I mean, my range, I took the, obviously took a long time to recover. So I think I've been, but just starting that, and then even if you don't even take as long as you think away from it, But even like just because you always think about it, but like I don't know how I was, because it's such an important part of my life that it's just, but I find it was like the summer, for example, it was just a month away, just enjoying the outside and being and doing like some stuff and not putting any pressure on myself to produce the podcast or to do anything like that. Just to enjoy just everything around, like just outside the nature and even just a small window, although that can be so beneficial, I find.
100%. I started to feel like I turned a corner in January of last year.
Or
this January that just passed. And I was like desperate to travel because I did feel like I really needed a deep nervous system reset.
Right.
But I was kind of a little bit weary of traveling on my own.
Where'd you go?
I went to Antigua, but not until April. And then Jamaica. And I would say that those 3 weeks of my life, probably they were the best. It was the first time in 2.5 years that I slept and that I felt like almost normal and that I wasn't highly symptomatic and sort of had forgotten that I almost had a TBI.
Yeah.
And it was hugely beneficial. Like I didn't want to come back because I was like, normalcy feels like such a drug when you're suffering from a TBI. And so, it felt like bliss, and it kind of made me value travel in a different kind of way. Cause I'd been someone who loved travel for its exploration and education and sort of, immersing yourself in different worlds and getting to learn about people and places. And this kind of like was a lot more different because I kind of, just sat on a beach and, rested, sort of really fully rested and like took self-care.
That's such an important part of recovery, just to rest and just realize that life goes on and life is just more than just your brain injury or eater. So just, I shouldn't say this, like I'm being very authoritative about what is, but for me, it's just nice to step back and just recovery is so important. Just rest is so important, just an important part that people always forget. Rest and what changes is rest, kind of like that type of thing changes a good addition to rest. Rest, yes, also a change, like just, you said they went to Antigua and Jamaica.
Yeah, and it's not even just rest. Like it's actually joy too. Like I think, like if you're going through a difficult TBI recovery, you can really get you can get stuck in the darkness, right? You can sort of just like what I felt like you can crumble. I crumbled under the darkness and you sit there for so long because of so many different reasons sometimes, just mainly because you're so symptomatic and you kind of forget how important joy is in your recovery. And that is like the real nervous system reset. It's not necessarily going to all these appointments. It's sort of like being able to access joy, because joy essentially are it's the dopamine, it's the serotonin, it's all the things that we're kind of desperately lacking, and connection. Like those are the things that actually stimulate the vagus nerve significantly as well. And they can feel difficult to access when you're so deep in symptoms and recovery. But I feel like those little windows, when you get to, are everything.
This is so interesting bringing up that, because actually my next podcast, so next week I'll be talking to Richard Tedeschi, who and Lawrence Kelly started this, defined the term post-traumatic growth. And a lot of it is talking about, a lot of it built around 5 stages of post-traumatic growth and relationships, like you said, connection, and just finding just there's joy, new meaning to life that people find after some book can find after a traumatic event, such as, well, I don't say it's a branch, but yeah, any traumatic event. And so I think that's just, this just so well fits so well in the into what I've just been doing this month and just don't know me. And like last week was, which we show now, was treatment for acute concussions with Dr. Jake Van Lanihan. He is designing a drug now that probably could treat the very acute concussion. So like in minutes after like a suspected concussion. But also dysautonomia was the week before that with Lauren and Jana. And then with Richard Deske next week, and you've kind of just touched on all of it with your injury and your experience with this whole past almost 5 years, you said. So I think that's just, it's a good note to end on. So I think, thank you so much for being doing this podcast. And as I was going to say, everyone, usually before the podcast, that I will now end the video recording, but I don't want to be that hanging up on you and just, you know, I'll say goodbye. And thank you so much. And then I will talk to you after I stop the recording. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And also, I guess before I start recording, I'll just mention to everyone that please just, you know, subscribe, rate, review Concussion Doc podcast, wherever you get podcasts. Follow me at Concussion Doc on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And visit my merch store at concussiondoc.com. And you can, it's TeePublic is the, anyway, it's shirts, hoodies, notebooks, masks, mugs, a bunch of stickers, like just the wall art, there's all that stuff. So you search and get my website up and search the store, which is TeePublic. So thanks again. And I will now stop recording. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Nick.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.